Would you take your Bibles, please, today and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to share with you a verse, and I'm going to highlight it up here on the screen. This passage of Scripture, verses 16 through 18. As we consider, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. That's a very broad statement that's given to us in this passage of Scripture, and I want us to focus our attention on that this morning as we consider in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice, Cairo, in everything, evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Every person that reads that verse, you can know the will of God for you. And it has to do with giving thanks in everything. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. What a reminder it is to us this morning. And especially in regard to this Thanksgiving week, as our nation seeks to give thanks for all the bounty, for all the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody, of course, does that, but our nation's history has been one of giving thanks to Thee, the one who founded this country, the one who has given us so many blessings. And we pray to our Heavenly Father that we might understand and know that we're not just to give thanks once a year. It's to be the attitude of our lives. And it's to be an attitude that encompasses everything, not just some things. I pray that you'd open our heart today as we consider this passage of Scripture, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, there was always commercials for Ronco. Anybody ever remember seeing the Ronco commercials? Ron Popeil was an inventor. His father was an inventor. As a matter of fact, his father had made the Chop-O-Matic and the Veggie-Matic. Well, Ron Popeil was not advancing in his dad's company, so he decided that he was going to start his own company, Ronco. And he came up with the Showtime Rotisserie. And it became very famous, and a famous line. He was known for several. Matter of fact, he patented, registered these trademark lines. He said, "Set it and forget it." I remember hearing that all the time, especially at Christmas time when they had all those commercials and they showed those yummy-looking chickens and turkeys and all that kind of stuff. Well, in the Reader's Digest recently, I was reading about a man that got so excited that he purchased one of those Showtime rotisseries. And he invited everybody over to his house for Thanksgiving. And he was going to show off his Showtime rotisserie. The only problem was, is he did not get the weight of his turkey correct. And he set the time for too long. They were in the living room area. They were all talking and having a great time. And someone commented, "What's that smell?" They went into the kitchen. The Showtime rotisserie was on fire. He had put too long of a time on the turkey, and as a result, burnt it to completely non-existent eating function. All right? And the problem was, this gentleman said, there was only one place open in their little town. That was the 7-Eleven convenience store. So he took the whole family down because there was no way they were going to do it. The rotisserie, they threw it outside. It was burnt. The turkey was burnt. So for that Thanksgiving, they had lukewarm hot dogs and microwave burritos. Now, can you imagine being thankful for that? Have you ever had a 7-Eleven burrito? Right. I would imagine most of us have passed on that, and the hot dogs too. It's just not something. I, It is remarkable to me. When I walk into, I have no desire to eat a hot dog. I'm not supposed to eat them anyway. But every time I walk into the other place, or I go over to the one across the way there, the convenience store that's there, there's always somebody in line with a hot dog in their hand, and it's loaded with all the goodies on there, and it has this slimy-looking coating on it. And I look at that, and I said, how can you eat that? But they've got it. They're heading out to their work truck, or they're heading out. They're fixing to devour their big old, hot dog. Now, I read that story in the Reader's Digest, and I could not help but think of this passage of Scripture. And we could look at Ephesians 5 and verse 20, where it says, in everything give thanks. Same basic Greek sentence there that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. But there's a reminder here in this passage that I want us to take away this morning. And that is this phrase, prepositional phrase, in everything. In everything. In the Greek language, it's in ponte. All right? In everything. In every circumstance. Folks, that's huge. Because for us, we generally are thankful for all the good things, but we're not so much with things that happen that are not so good. Getting the phone call. I had a colonoscopy recently. I'm not going to go into any details. But I was miserable for 2 days. Absolutely miserable. And I went in there, and I went through that whole process. And when I woke up, I was in this room with all these other people. And I was praying, Lord, please let them have been out during this time. You know, and I got up to go and so forth like that. They take you out to your vehicle and so forth like that. And it hit me. I should be thankful for this. And I got an email. Everything's good. All right? Everything's good. Now, I have to say, I wasn't so thankful about the process. All right? It made me very sick. And I was really struggling. My wife even called them in the morning. He wasn't able to finish all that process because he was throwing up this morning. Do you want him to come in? Oh, yes, come on in. You probably have plenty, and it cleaned you out, and you're good to go. All right? And I was saying, Lord, that was not the answer that I was looking for. But I did go through the process. I might as well finish it up, and I got a good report. Now, I was easily thankful for the result, but not thankful for the process, and I have been rebuked by this ever since. That one verse of Scripture. And if I'm rebuked, I wonder about the rest of us. How we live our lives. It's very easy to be thankful for good news. But when the bad news comes, can we say, I'm thankful? I read to you at the very beginning the statement that was made by Fanny Crosby. I am thankful for the special dispensation of God whereby He made me blind. And if I were to be given sight at this very moment, I wouldn't take it. She wrote over 3,000 poems. And what's unique about her poetry is she wrote them to be sung. They are literally, she lived from 1820 to 1915. You look in your hymn book and you see how many Fanny Crosby hymns we have. You don't buy a book of Fanny Crosby poems. You buy a book of Fanny Crosby hymns because she intended every one of them to be sung. As a matter of fact, she handpicked most of the songwriters for her hymns because she wanted her Lord to be magnified in song and in words. How can you be grateful when your sight is taken away at 6 weeks old and you've never seen something? Many times when she would come into a church and she would meet somebody new, Immediately her hands went up like this. And what was she about to do? She would feel the face. Oh, you're so beautiful. And she couldn't see him. She would just feel the features of their face. That was the best she could do. But her heart was filled with gratitude to God for the way things worked in her life. Even though to us we would look at it and say, oh, that's terrible. For her it was, oh, it's wonderful. Something had happened in her life. You know what it was? Salvation in Jesus Christ. She had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And in her darkness that she lived in every day, she would think of phrases and ways to praise her God, and she would begin the process of writing out a poem. And she would think of its lyrical quality. If it couldn't be sung, you know, there's a lot of modern songs today that are very difficult to sing because they have all these changing time signatures, and sometimes the wording and the phraseology is hard to sing and it's hard to memorize. Not her. She said, I want to make sure that the simplest child can sing this and bring glory to my Savior. It was thought out praise. It was thought out rejoicing. It was thought out thanksgiving. Now, folks, this is the challenge of the morning. Rejoice evermore. Always be rejoicing. We're not very good at that. It's hard to rejoice when you stump your toe. It's hard to rejoice when you go get in your vehicle in the morning and it goes, whoa, whoa. And then you have to go get a jump or so forth like that. I jumped off a lady not too long ago who was in parent line, and we had to push her out of parent line. And afterwards, I went over there, and she said, this just caps off the day I've been having. And I said, well, I'm so sorry. Maybe we can get you on the road. We got her jumped off, and she was just mumbling. Hold on. She was going on about all the things that had happened to her. And on top of that, I'm stuck in parent line, and my car won't start, and so forth. Like that's normal. We all know what that is like. But the Bible makes it clear, puts on bookends in these three things together, and they are linked in the Greek language. Rejoice evermore, and then in everything give thanks. What's in the middle? Pray without ceasing. Be praying continually. Unceasingly is a translation of that word in the Greek. Unceasingly praying. It makes sense then that I can rejoice, I can give thanks and everything because I'm in a close relationship with my Father through Jesus Christ. There's something that Paul is saying by pen of inspiration, and I don't want you to miss it this morning. Yes, it's hard to rejoice evermore. Yes, in every circumstance, it's hard to give thanks. But the connector is praying unceasingly. What does that imply? What does that imply? It implies a connection with the one to whom deserves the rejoicing, the one who deserves the thanksgiving and the praise. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That connector makes sense of the bookends. I want us to think as we go through here this morning of this passage, and I have some thoughts that I want to share with you. We've all been around grumpy people who seem perpetually unhappy. You probably have somebody in mind right now. Somebody maybe at work that's always grumpy. They're always down. They got the Eeyore face. They fuss, they whine, they squawk, and they gripe about this and that. Nothing suits them. Everything bothers them, and they can't be happy because they won't be happy. Because you see, folks, happiness is a matter of the will. It is a product of knowing Jesus Christ, being connected to Him, and realizing I don't have to be unhappy. It's my privilege to be happy in Jesus Christ. Now, these people that I'm referring to prefer misery. And since misery loves company, they want us to wallow with them in their mud hole of discontent. Have you ever been drawn in by somebody like that? They're always discontent, and the more you hang around them, yeah, I kind of feel that way too. Look out. Look out. That's why this verse of Scripture here, these verses of Scripture, 16 through 18, is such a challenge. It reminds me of Mark Twain's very famous comment, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand." Think about that for just a moment. Yeah. In everything, give thanks. Now, I understand what that means. It means the same in English and Greek. All right, there's no difference. In everything, give thanks. And that certainly applies here. There's nothing tricky, nothing vague, nothing unclear about it. It simply means in everything, give thanks. Now, the hard part. What's the prepositional phrase that's the hard part? In everything. In ponte. In everything. In every circumstance. As a matter of fact, that appears in several translations of this particular verse. God's will for you in Christ is that you be thankful in everything. That's His will. You know, a lot of people get all confused about what the will of God is. I don't know what the will of God is. You may be confused about the call of God for your life, but there should be no confusion about the will of God for your life. That's where we get our words messed up. You may be struggling about what does God want me to do? And we often assign God's will. But that really has to do with God's call for your life. His will is laid out in the Bible. And you'd have to discover. If you're not thankful for everything, are you following the will of God? No, you're not. If I'm not grateful in everything, then I am not following the will of God. That's how simple this verse is. In everything, in every circumstance. So let's consider this prepositional phrase for just a moment. And I want you to think with me about the impact that this verse has upon us. The will of God concerning you is in a person. There's another prepositional phrase that's used here. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whoa, that's the difference maker right there. That's the change agent. That's what makes giving thanks and everything possible. Do I hear an amen? It makes it possible. Because I am in Christ Jesus. Both words used there. Messiah, Christ, Christo. All right? Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, the Savior. Those two words are combined. In Christ Jesus, I can be thankful for everything. We can hardly expect people who walk in darkness to act as if they have seen the light. If you're spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and without the knowledge of God, life seems haphazard to you. In a fallen world, things often happen with no apparent reason. And there is no clear pattern of life's good and bad circumstances. That's the natural man looking at the world. That is life here on this earth because of what? Because of the curse. Introduce Christ Jesus. he comes into the picture. The promised one, the Messiah, the deliverer. As our hymn writer, Fanny Crosby said in that hymn, numberless blessings each moment I find, all right? Filled with the fullness divine, I sing in my rapture all glory to God for such a, what's that next word with a capital R? Redeemer is mine. The Redeemer comes in. The purchaser with his own blood comes into the scene. And all of a sudden, the random becomes real. The haphazard becomes purpose. God's will. Things are cleared up. When things are all foggy and I don't understand, in Christ Jesus, they're all cleared up. Now, folks, this is what salvation is. It's not only redemption from our sin, but it's clarification of what our purpose is here on this earth. And God says, the will of God concerning you is that you, in every circumstance, in everything, give what? Thanks. Give thanks. So, let's continue on. The man who has met Christ is not looking for anything. This was said by A.W. Tozer. Excellent quote here. Let me just read the whole thing. A real Christian is an odd number anyway. You might take offense at that. Odd? You're using odd concerning me? Well, the Bible uses that word. All right? A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one who he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is the weakest, richest when he is the poorest, and happiest when he feels the worst. We just described the Christian. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. And then he says this, the man who has met God is not looking for anything. He's already found it. Do I hear an amen? He's not looking for anything. The Christian is not to be looking for anything. He's already found it. In whom? Christ Jesus. He is not searching for light, for upon him the light has already shined. Last night, I had to go out to my truck to get a drill. We were going to put up a shelf in Elizabeth's room, and Preston was over, and I said, grab the flashlight, Preston. Now, for Preston, a flashlight is a toy. I said, all right, shine it out in front of us. And that flashlight was going just like this the whole time. And then he was, he was spinning it on the loop. And I'm sitting there trying to get over the roots that are in our yard, trying to make it out. Jack knows about the roots in my yard. He sticks to the walkway there because he doesn't want to fall. But that light was all over the place. We made it out to the truck. I said, all right, hop in the truck. I'm opening my toolbox. I want you to shine the light in there. And it was like this. And so I reached up and I grabbed the flashlight and I held it. Poppy, I can do it. I said, well, we're not doing so well right now. And I held it in there so I could find the tool I was looking for. And I gave it back to him and back it went. And I closed the lid and went back in the house. All right? You know, there's a lot of Christians that live like that. They're unsure about the light. And yet the light is ever present in us. Because of whom? Jesus Christ. We're not searching for the light. We have the light. We're not searching for anything from God because we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. You know what that does? It changes your attitude. You're not walking around with a chip on your shoulder anymore. You're not walking around bitter and angry at people. You're not walking around and wishing you were somewhere else. You're not walking around and saying, you know, this has been a rotten day. Because in Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need. And the circumstances of life are just the circumstances. You're gonna hit your thumb with a hammer sometime. You're gonna trip on a root in the yard. Your car's not gonna start. You're gonna flip on the switch and the bulb's gonna blow. Those things happen in this world, right? So, my tendency is, oh no, I gotta go get the ladder and fix the light, you know. But you know what I should be? Thankful. Because I still have power. Even though the bulb's out, there's still power there. At least I hope there is whenever I screw the new bulb in. We allow circumstances to dictate our attitude. Rather than our attitude developed by Christ dictating how we respond to our circumstances. Big difference. Huge difference. Continuing. To be in Christ Jesus means I can give thanks in everything. I want to share with you a prayer of a man that used to work here many, many years ago. His name was Bill Slater. He had three sons. I was friends with them. And I still am friends with one of them, Will Slater. I talk to him on a regular basis. Lives up in Tennessee. And he works for a college up there and Christian educator for many, many years. And his dad was my boss. I was in middle school at the time, and he was custodian here. And he would have prayer with us boys at 3 o'clock whenever we reported for duty to go do our different jobs that we were supposed to do. And he always had prayer with us. And his prayer was almost the same every day. And this is what he would say, all right? Heavenly Father, You're in charge of everything that will happen to me today, the good, the bad, the happy and the sad, the positive and the negative. I remember that order. Please make me thankful for everything that happens to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what we were about to do? Clean toilets. That was our job. I cleaned toilets in the nursery that used to be in the buildings back behind the building. That was my job for years. I'd go back there every day. And I saw things that I didn't want to see. Now, I won't go into any details. But just suffice it to say, it was not the most pleasant job cleaning all the toilets in that building. But Mr. Slater would always kind of point out, no matter what it is, the positive or the negative, all right? Whatever it is, help me to be thankful. You know what? That made an impact in my life. As I was churning the wand, God, I've got to be thankful for this. I'm able to earn money. And by the way, that money that I earned in middle school and high school cleaning is what paid for my college later on. God was supplying when I was in seventh grade for something that would not happen until I was 18. Mr. Slater taught me something about the job. He wasn't just a janitor. He was a Christian janitor. And he understood, we're doing unpleasant things. Boys, I want to be able to eat off of the toilet lid. He would say that to us. And all I could think, well, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life. But he was making a point. Do your job and do it well. Do your job and do it well for the glory of whom? Can you clean toilets for the glory of God? Yes, you can. Can you do unpleasant things for the glory of Christ? Yes, you can. Why? Because I'm in Christo. I'm in Christ Jesus. So the Bill Slater prayer that he prayed oftentimes, and I'm just going by recollection and memory, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, the positive and the negative, make me thankful for everything that happens to me. What a prayer. What an impact in a seventh grade boy cleaning toilets. I want to read to you three different translations of verse 18. First of them is from Phillips' translation. I often read from that. Be thankful, whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. Phillips' translation. Kenneth Weiss' translation. Be thankful in all circumstances. And then from the Amplified Bible. No matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually be given thanks. Because in the original language, it's in the present imperative. And it means you start now and you keep doing it. And you keep doing it. And you keep doing it. Because it's the command of God. No matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually given thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. So, I like the third one. No matter what the circumstances, from the Amplified Bible. Yeah, but Pastor Todd, stuff happens. You're right. It does. Stuff happens a lot. Changes, immediate changes in schedule. I was going to do this, but now I have to do this. I'm not going to be able to do what I intended to do. How many of you have a daily schedule? How many of you have a Google Calendar? I have a Google Calendar. I fill it up all the time. I'm putting stuff in there so I don't forget. Because if I forget, somebody is not going to receive what they were supposed to receive because I forgot. So Google Calendar is my friend. It's my daily reminder. I have it up on my desktop. I click on that and I find out it's got it by the hour, what I need to do. Some days don't have very much. Other days have a lot to remember. Don't forget, you have an award ceremony at 5:30 tonight. That was last Monday. Now, what if I didn't show up? All those people out under the lights. Oh, no lights on because I wasn't there to turn them on. And they're all out there in their lawn chairs in the dark. Where's Mr. Brainerd? My kid's supposed to get his trophy tonight, certificate, and he's not here. And Mr. Brainerd's at home watching Monday Night Football. Whoa, we got a problem, don't we? We have to be reminded. And the same is true, Christian, about the Word of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Concerning you. In conclusion here, just a few more thoughts. Reasons to praise God. Maybe you are sitting there today and you think, I don't have a whole lot to praise God for. Now, immediately what you're doing is you're limiting yourself to what's happened to you physically or mentally or socially. Right? Isn't it an amazing thing to walk into a group of people and see how many of them have their heads down in their phone? Especially at hospital waiting rooms. I was in one not too long ago, and just about everybody in the entire room, it was almost silent, and everybody was on their phone. You know, just going at it, right? I'm guilty of the same. We are not connected like we should be. We should be talking to people. There are people in there that are facing some of the most terrible news they'll ever face in their life about a loved one that's back there in the back, and they're waiting to hear what the news will be. But instead, we're on our phone. And we're telling all the circumstances. I'm sitting here in the waiting room, and they don't have any hot coffee. All right? Wait a minute. What is the weighty thing here? No coffee or my beloved that's back there in the back? What have we done? We've trivialized things that should be important. And one of those is conversing with people. Talking to people. Hey, what are you doing here? Why are you here today? Well, my wife's back there. She's been having abdominal pain, and I just don't know what's going on. This has been an ongoing thing for months and just doesn't seem to get well. Is that serious? Christian, what can you do in that moment? Let me tell you about the great physician, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that you're facing potential news that could be horrible. It may be something that's inconsequential, maybe just something that's going on that can be fixed with medicine, but it could be something more serious. Let's pray together right now. I want to pray for your wife. Can you do that? Or are we too? That's it. That's the scope of our reaching out to help others. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I've got several things to be thankful for, and I'm just going to close with a few of them. If you're struggling this morning, I just don't know what to be thankful for. The Bible is full of things that you should be thankful for. Here's a few. God is sovereign. Are you thankful for that? God is sovereign. Nothing happens by chance. Are you thankful for that this morning? That no matter whatever happened, it didn't happen by chance. God has a purpose for it, Christian. All things work together for good to those who love God. Don't ever leave off that last phrase. To those who love God. Hard times show us our total need for Christ. Are you thankful for that? You have the resource of the one who loved you and gave himself for you? God has triumphed over sin and death through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will triumph over anything I may face. Are you thankful for that? God uses the worst that happens to promote our spiritual growth. God is faithful even when we are faithless. God's word will be vindicated. It will be vindicated. What he has said. He told Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Was Paul and his circumstances vindicated by God's grace? Absolutely. Paul has more to say about grace than any other writer in the New Testament. And he suffered greatly. Shipwrecked, beaten, harassed, imprisoned, beheaded. You say, whoa, that's a long list of awful things. He goes into great detail in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Sleeplessness. He goes through all the sufferings that he had in the flesh. But he was vindicated because God said, "My grace is sufficient. For it's made perfect in your weakness." I could go on and on with this list, but we have to stop now. As we focus this week on Thanksgiving, and the world focuses so much on, this is just another holiday before Christmas. And they miss the heart and soul of a thankful spirit. Can you go back and read the story of the pilgrims who came to this country? Having lost in that first winter 50 of their 105 people. Two people died on the voyage over. One of them a child. Can you be thankful for that? Yes, in everything, give thanks. Because William Bradford said in that first Thanksgiving that they enjoyed together with the Indians, "I'm so thankful that God supplied help. For when we arrived at Cape Cod, we found the holdings of Indian food that had been left behind when the tribe was hit by a sickness that killed almost every one of them. And all their corn was stored for the pilgrims to enjoy and to have something to eat." God had done something ahead of them coming to Cape Cod. In everything, give thanks. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here this morning and said, "Pastor Todd, I'm not a very thankful person, but I want to be." And your word is made clear, the testimony of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Those three verses are impactful. And maybe your heart's been touched this morning. Say, "Pastor Todd, I need prayer. I'm struggling right now. I'm not asking anybody to be looking around. I just want you to lift up your hand. If you want me to pray for you this morning, I'll be glad to. Anyone at all? I see that hand. Thank you. Maybe you're here and said, I'm very thankful, but I'm scared that I might have to face something that I won't be thankful for. Listen, don't worry about what hasn't happened yet. Just trust the Lord in the present. Trust the Lord in the present. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God. Don't question how you're going to respond. Just follow the will of God in your heart and life. Father in heaven, I thank you for this one that's indicated their need to be thankful in everything. All of us are weak in this regard. We're very good at being thankful for all the good things that happen, but not so good whenever the bad things happen, the bad news, the things that seem to slow us down or keep us from doing what we want to do. Lord, I pray that you'd work in a very powerful way. May we have the spirit of a Fanny Crosby. May we have the spirit of an A.W. Tozier. Both of them went through very difficult times, and yet you brought them through to the point of their attitude being completely transformed. I pray that you would work in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit of God would teach us to have hearts full of gratitude in every circumstance. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.